I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I appreciate you joining me today. Poor me. Poor me. Everybody sympathize with Mike Madison. I can't do it. You know, I'll probably keep this gig until the station kicks me off, or, you know, if they find a better use of these 2 hours a week than I've told them before. It's no harm, no foul, won't hurt my feelings. But I enjoy doing the show. I'll probably be here till they stop me. You know, I stopped doing my five-day-a-week show and kind of thought that was it. I will say I went through a little bit of withdrawals. And then these 2 hours a week opened up a few months later. And I said, yeah, that sounds great. I'll take it. It's been kind of difficult to try to take everything that I research, everything that I look into, all the news of the week, and shove it into 2 hours. But I always enjoy the show. But I will tell you right now, I can't do a typical conservative talk radio in 2024. There's just no way. We are officially into a Joe Biden versus Donald Trump rematch. And while I am certainly happy to see Nikki Haley be dispatched with, that's certainly a very good sign. Congratulations to all you Republicans and conservatives out there for waking up to the Nikki Haley's and the Mitch McConnell's, the Mitt Romney's, the John McCain's. Lindsey Graham's still snaking around, riding the coattails of Donald Trump. But conservatives have done a good job of turning their back on some of the worst of the warmongers there. So happy to see Nikki Haley become pretty well embarrassed, I would imagine. But it has left us with an official race now. We have an 81-year-old corrupt, senile career parasite versus a, 78-year-old New York City billionaire Democrat that locked down the United States in 2020 and pumped up about $5 to $6 trillion in phony money in his final year. So this is what we have to look forward to, I guess. I know others share much more enthusiasm for this political season. There'll be a lot of good reasons to fight and argue and post to social media. I am not one. I believe we have officially jumped the shark. For those of you who still understand that old saying from Happy Days back in the, 1970s? Oh my gosh. You know, and not that our choices were any better when it was between, we had Obama and John McCain, or Obama and Mitt Romney. You know, I thought in 2016 we were going to see something interesting when it was Trump versus Hillary, and to Trump's credit, or the American people's credit, or whoever's credit is pulling the strings and telling us who's going to rule over us. Thank God we were saved from a Hillary Clinton presidency. I might have had to quit the show before I even started it. I started after Trump had won the general and just a couple of weeks before he was inaugurated. I don't know I would have been able to. Well, I'll tell you what. I think I would have actually. Hillary Clinton probably would have been great for my show, because everybody would have completely understood where I was coming from. I would have been wildly more popular. Because it didn't take me but about 6 to 9 months of a Trump presidency and seeing the people he was surrounded himself with before I started to turn on Donald Trump. And I would imagine many listeners abandoned me at that time. So actually, a Hillary Clinton presidency might have been better for me. The problem was that Donald Trump hired all the same people that Hillary would have hired. And I don't think Hillary Clinton could have gotten away with stripping us all of our freedom and launching Operation Warp Speed in 2020. So, anyway, more of the same. So today I'm going to go ahead and inject another another round of topic into the show, and I'm going to do a health show. It's a bit of a health warning show is probably more like it. Because what I realize is, particularly if you are me or people like me, we cannot control who controls us. Right now, we don't even know their names. Well, really, we never really know their names. Donald Trump was backed by people behind him that were making big decisions and convincing Trump to do really terrible things. And we don't know who that was exactly. The rumor was it was the last person who spoke to Donald Trump before he made a decision was who he went with. But we can't control who controls us. We can't control the fact that the feds and the cops will make sure we all stay in line with whatever the parasites dictate to us. But for now, at least for now, we can still control our health outcomes. And I say for now because if the political situation continues to deteriorate and Americans continue to sit on their hands, we may not have that freedom for very long. So anyway, we're going to do a bit of a health show today. Quote of the day for it. But Dr. Ben Tapper had posted this on Twitter. He said, "The greatest evil trick played upon mankind was teaching man that his body's self-cleaning programs are diseases that require poisons for treatment." And what's really interesting about this, and one of the things about social media that gives me a glimpse into what our society looks like and has become, is the replies to this tweet. Now, there's somebody here with a he, him in his bio. I do look to see who it is spouting this stuff off. It says, "Laugh out loud, before Western medicine, you were lucky to live into your 50s or 60s. Kids were dying of all kinds of diseases." Yeah. You know, this idea of lifespan and the fact that we live so much longer now is so misunderstood. Now, I won't say there have not been some advancements in medicine that have added years to our age. A lot of times those extra years are not quality of life, they're quantity of life. They just kind of keep you alive so that your insurance keeps paying out. But there have been some things, surgeries certainly, a big part of that. But that's the thing is, you know, one of the reasons people died early was we didn't have things like, oh, I don't know, sewage, you know, sanitation. We didn't have refrigeration. We were doing all kinds of pretty scary work, a lot of things that people are not capable of today. Life was harder around the, just in general. It's not that Western medicine came in and saved us. A whole lot of things, hell, electricity, air conditioning and heat in the winter has extended lifespans, because I would imagine a lot of older people did not fare well in extreme weather conditions before they came. Anyway, I won't get into it, but it was interesting looking at the comments on this, and it just looks, and this is why, oh, if anybody knows a way to get me onto liberal talk radio somewhere, Democrat talk radio, I would love to go do some tough love on the left, because most of these reactions, and again, this is another one of those kind of flip-flops, it seems like the right and conservatives have started to understand natural health topics and they're starting to get suspicious of big pharma while the left is flocking to them. There was a teacher down in these comments too. Let me say, a caffeinated teacher. I just assume she's probably to the left with her rainbow icon there or her avatar or whatever. Then she asked, "What is the lifespan of humans in the 1800s? And this is just someone else thinking that big pharma has come in and just made our lives so much better. I could not disagree more. Could not disagree the tiniest bit more. Anyway, I wanted to get into some of these things. And I've got a couple of longer Tucker Carlson interview clips. Tucker does a lot of interesting stuff. But hundreds of millions of people see his stuff. So I don't like to replay Tucker Carlson's show. I think long clips are really kind of annoying on radio in the first place. But these are a couple of clips. They're only a couple of minutes. I'm not about to play a 30-minute full interview or anything. But a couple of clips that I think are really worth bringing to the show. As I say, this is more of a health warning show. I spent 6 years bringing you all kinds of health tips. Ways to eat, supplements you could take for different conditions. This is just more of a chipping away at the pharmacological model for anybody who is out there who has not quite caught on to it yet. And this was interesting. It was a few weeks ago. I've had this clip for a while. A pharma rep came on Tucker's show and did a very interesting interview, and I've just got a couple of clips from it. This first one is about television time, about all the ads we see. We all know that Big Pharma is the largest advertiser in mainstream media, and this is why we do not get any truth around the vaccines. We don't get any truth around the medications. We don't ever hear the statistic that people die more of medical care. I think it's the when you add medical mistakes and malpractice and infections in the hospital, all these kinds of things, it's either the first or second leading cause of death in the United States. I've said it many times before. It's a couple hundred thousand people a year. And I've said, you know, if a jumbo jet was going down every single day for a, you know, I would imagine people would be a little scared to fly. So they just don't report the fact that, you know, 1,000 people a day are dying from the medical system. So that the media won't report on that because they're bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. And this ex-pharma exec had some kind of good points to kind of dovetail that.
But you're saying that pharma buys TV spots not to convince people to ask for specific drugs from their physicians, but to subvert the news business?
This is an open secret working for pharma.
Well, I never even thought of that.
This is an open secret. The kind of silly ads you see between the news breaks, the points of that is not, it's largely to impact the customer. But the pharma's already got that. They've already bought off the doctors. They're good on that. No, this is an open secret. The news ad spending from pharma is a public relation lobbying tactic, essentially, to buy off the news. The news is a refer. They're not investigating pharma.
I've noticed.
The news has become basically a referee that you were a terrible anti-science Luddite for asking why, you know, the shots that we require our kids to get that fundamentally by their own advertising change the immune system of that child for life, why it's gone from 20 to 70. To even ask that question, the news referees that and calls you anti-science when the two largest vaccine makers in the country are literally criminal enterprises. GlaxoSmithKline and Merck, in the past 5 years, has settled two of the largest criminal penalties in American corporate history for bribing doctors and creating misleading research, who are the two largest vaccine makers. So you literally have the media playing referee that you can't even ask a question. Parent is actually...
If you have a vaccine injury, and many people have, including some I know very well, even a profound vaccine injury, you're not allowed to complain about it.
No, you're anti-science.
Even if
media,
it can be shown, it was, this is a vaccine injury.
The media plays referee because they're funded. But so on all levels, right?
Wow.
On all levels.
And I'm not very dark, Callie Means.
Well, I think it's hopefully empowering. I think this is why we have an opportunity here, Tucker. Like Ozempic, this is not some like new, like, you know, it's kind of this funny thing. Like, you know, it's kind of vain. I can lose weight. This is going, the reason the stocks are going up is because this is going to be a lot of government money. This is going to be the highest funded drug from the U.S. taxpayer in history. We've got a society. When are we going to say, let's go another direction? Why are we trusting pharma now when they've been completely acting to garner no trust?
Yeah, so more on Ozempic in a little bit, as I am on my one-man fatwa against this horrific drug. And what he's talking about is they are trying to get this thing on Medicare and onto insurance plans because right now, for some reason... Oh, is this real too judgy to say? People are too lazy to actually do what it takes to lose weight, which is not difficult. For the vast majority of people, it's not difficult. If it's really difficult for you, you've got some other underlying condition that's making it hard for you to lose weight, and you need to seek a naturopath or a functional medicine doctor to get to the root cause. It could be a thyroid issue. But actually losing weight and maintaining a healthy weight is not difficult at all. People are willing to pay right now $1,000. I think we got 5 million people in the United States right now on Ozempic, last number I saw. That number is going to skyrocket if they get this covered by insurance and they get this on Medicare, Medicaid. It's really going to be a train wreck, and it's going to be something that I would say equal or even worse than what the vaccine is doing, and we don't even know. The vaccine is the gift that keeps on taking. We don't know what the end result of that will be. Anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about more about Ozempic. And I'm going to bring it up. I've brought it up many times before. I'm not trying to be repetitive, but as I say, this is getting more popular. If you or somebody that you know or love is thinking about getting on this drug, you can send them a copy of this podcast or just warn them. It's not hard to find all of the disastrous side effects of this thing. We'll talk about it when I come back. Stay the Cohen blood, rough night in Jericho. If you are out there either struggling with your weight or just wanting to lose weight or be healthier, I'm going to explain this one more time. I did it many times over the 6 years I had my Hump Day Health show. Every time you put something into your mouth and it goes into your stomach, I'm simplifying this a little bit, but basically I think it's understandable. Your body looks through everything that's being digested. It's looking for all this different nutrition. It needs, you know, this mineral to affect this body function. It needs this vitamin to help with this function. And when it goes through all of that food, and what most Americans people eat is just garbage. It's absolute crap, not to mention the chemicals that are in a lot of the foods that's hampering the ability of the body to even take up the nutrition that you might have consumed. But when your body looks through and it says, well, we didn't get enough of this, we didn't get enough of that, it's going to force you to eat again. It's really quite miraculous. Body says, man, we didn't get what we need. Let's eat again. If you actually start eating real food, and I certainly am a proponent of, particularly when it comes to produce, getting organic so you're not getting a steady diet of GMOs and glyphosate. If you eat a good diet of real food, and that includes some good grass-fed, grass-finished Stonington Farms beef, if you're eating real food, when that food goes into your stomach, your body goes through it and goes, oh my gosh, look at this. We got everything we need. We're good for a while. And they'll leave you alone. You won't overeat. People trying all of these fad diets this or trying to rely on discipline or just determination to power through and not eat, that doesn't last for any particular period of time whatsoever. I know I don't have that kind of willpower. So I depend on my diet. And I'm only about 80% good. I told you I got a little soft around the middle on the road, but I knew immediately how to take care of it, and I'm about halfway done with that now. I don't get on a scale, but I can tell that even that little bit of stomach I had gotten is disappearing rapidly. So it is not difficult. I say that because before you go to an Ozempic $1,000 a month with a laundry list of side effects, understand this is not difficult. Know how your body works. Your body's looking for nutrition. If you don't put it into your system, it's going to keep begging you to eat more and more and more until it gets what it needs. Now, I would say for a lot of people, it never gets fully what it needs. Anyway, this is more of this pharma guy on Tucker. And he talks particularly about this Ozempic thing, and then I'll give you some more news on the other side of it.
So you're overweight, you have pre-diabetes, and your doctor says, you know, what you would say, which is that's a very serious thing to have. Just because it's common doesn't mean it's not bad. It is bad. And this drug can cure it. Why wouldn't you do that?
It segues really well into the second issue, why Ozempic is so problematic. So on a societal level, you know, I think anyone that agrees, you know, if you're just looking at this issue, you know, putting everybody and pumping everyone with Ozempic for their lives isn't the first thing you do to solve obesity. But even if it was perfect, but the problem is when you get to the individual level, this drug medically is a absolute disaster.
Medically,
it's a disaster. So all you need to know is that Novo Nordisk, the company that makes this drug, recently passed LVMH to become the most valuable company in Europe. So this company, most valuable company in Europe, they don't allow this drug for obesity in Europe. Almost all of Novo Nordisk's revenue is coming from taking advantage of Americans. This is not the first line of defense for obesity in any European country. It's not approved by the government regulators. They are saying on their stock calls that they're, all of their growth is coming from the U.S. They're taking advantage of a broken U.S. system in the United States. And when you dive into it, even people in the United States who are getting government funding, insurance funding for this drug, don't have to pay for it. 30% of them go off the drug within 3 months. So even though they're fully being paid for, and we're being told this is a lifetime drug, there's lawsuits coming, just reported in the past couple of days, on gastrointestinal issues and stomach paralysis. The drug itself essentially is stomach paralysis.
What is stomach paralysis?
The drug, that what it does is essentially it sterilizes, it stomach paralyzes your stomach to make you not be able to process food correctly. And there's studies now saying that stomach paralysis, the really messing with your ability to digest food, actually stays after you go off the drug. So there's lawsuits now with people with severe gastrointestinal issues after coming off the drugs that's being pronounced, and that's coming out in lawsuits. Additionally, because of that, you're consistently seeing patients who go off the drugs gain the weight back. So that's almost, I think, universally accepted even by Novo Nordisk. When you go off the drug, you gain the weight back. But again, we're seeing most people that take the drug within the first year come off it because the gastrointestinal issues, the stomach issues are so pronounced. Additionally, the EU, again, where this company is based, just launched a probe into suicidal ideation caused by Ozempic. You can't even make this up. But the EU is doing a massive probe because there's so many reports of increased depression and increased suicide. Now, I was debating a Harvard doctor about 6 months ago, and I brought this up because it's kind of obvious. Your serotonin, what produces your contentment and happiness, 95% is made in the gut. And again, Ozempic essentially is gut dysfunction. So when you mess with the serotonin and mess with the gut, a lot of unexpected things happening. And very understandably, and really what's to be expected, is we're actually seeing reports of a mass increase in mental health disorders and even suicidal ideation from Ozempic.
There you go. Yeah, I covered this probably a couple of months ago now. I started seeing these articles. And so the train that people are on is they're on Ozempic. A lot of people that are drawn to Ozempic, they're finding, have already been on SSRIs, antidepressants. They got on Ozempic and they need another SSRI, or they need to up their dosage. Can you even imagine? This isn't your medical system pushing this on you. It's the Today Show in the morning giving all the Ozempic success stories. I believe Oprah Winfrey talked about being on this. I think Weight Watchers has actually shifted their focus to these GLP-1 drugs as opposed to selling their prepackaged crap. You don't even need a Weight Watchers. Now, if you want a health coach, knock yourself out. You should have one. But you don't need boxes coming in the mail to show you how to eat. And a lot of those things are just laden with chemicals and all kinds of bad things. It's not nutritious food if you're getting it in boxes to slap into a microwave to get you to give some kind of portion control. I mean, Americans, come on. The Europeans aren't falling for this. You hear that right there. It's a European company. And the Europeans are not falling for it. Of course, Europeans aren't as big as we are because they don't allow a whole lot of the other things that we consume into their food. A lot of European countries don't allow GMOs. They don't allow some of the dyes. They don't allow a lot of the preservatives. You can go out and do research on that. Take a look at, just do a comparison between the same products, the American ingredient label and the European ingredient label. I'm no big fan of European governments or anything, but if there's anything positive to be said about them, they're not poisoning their own citizens. There's also a story, just to kind of tie a bow on this Ozempic fatwa that I am on, and this is they're talking about this Ozempic. It doesn't just make you lose fat, it makes you lose muscle, and for many people that's extremely dangerous. We've talked about Ozempic face, where you can lose the muscle tone to your face, and Ozempic butt, where you actually lose your butt. And there's doctors that are raising the concerns about this. I don't want to get into this story, I'm running a little long on this anyway, but one of the doctors, Robert Kushner, he's an obesity medicine doctor at Northwestern. He's also an investigator in a key trial for some of these drugs. He's a little worried about it. He says he watches them, quote, "I watch them very carefully," he told me. Essentially what that means is this is one of these big pharma-sponsored doctors who has put his patients on this Ozempic, and now he's just running studies on them. It's just another human trial experiment. We're happening live time. Don't do it. don't let your daughter do it, or your son. I mean, I don't want to be sexist. I just would imagine this would be very attractive to women who think they can get a quick weight loss on this thing. Don't let your loved ones take this drug, for the love of God. I'll be right back. Each time I feel it slip away, just makes me want to cry. What's so fun about peace of earth? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got to tell you, I'm doing a health show today. I can't stand politics. You're probably going to get a lot of these or similar shows on different concepts, anything outside of politics. And I really had forgotten how much I really enjoy bashing the American medical system. It's like a calling to me. Now, I'm a libertarian. I believe people should be free. I try to implore people to stop falling in love with these politicians who just bait and switch you constantly. But this is my other passion, and that is health. We're going to get to kids a little bit here. Del Bigtree is just a hero for vaccine safety. Now, what they'll call him, of course, is an anti-vaxxer. And I would imagine maybe he kind of is at this point, because all of our vaccines are just garbage, or a vast majority of them, full of aluminum and thimerosal and glyphosate, all these horrible things that they put in them so that they can create lifelong patients who are constantly coming to doctor's office for chronic conditions. But he did a presentation. I'm not sure if this was U.S. Congress or a state house, talking about, I think this is about the hepatitis B vaccine. And as somebody who studies this stuff, even to me, this was shocking. Remember, I believe the hepatitis B vaccine that he's referencing is given to children on their first or second day on planet Earth. They're 1 or 2 days old, and we're giving them a vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease. I mean, just think about that for a second. Does that seem a tad bit odd to anybody? But anyway, listen to Del Bigtree talk about this shot in particular, I believe.
Partial list of printed adverse events for just one of the hepatitis B vaccines and Jurix-B. Here are the side effects. Herpes zoster, meningitis, thrombocytopenia, anaphylaxis, hypersensitivity syndrome, arthralgia, arthritis, urticaria, erythema multiforme, encephalopathy, swelling of the brain, just like the COVID vaccine, multiple sclerosis, neuritis, hypoesthesia, paresthesia, Guillain-Barré syndrome, paralysis, Bell's palsy, optic neuritis, paralysis, paresis, seizures, syncope, transverse myelitis, conjunctivitis, keratitis, tinnitus, vertigo, tachycardia, apnea, bronchospasms, including asthma-like symptoms, dyspepsia, alopecia, angioedema, eczema, and Stevens-Johnson syndrome. That's just one vaccine. That vaccine manufacturer has all these side effects in the warning list because why? It is stipulated by the FDA that there is a reasonable belief that they are causally related to the vaccine. That's why they're there. They're not adding them just because they think they should, because they have to. The warning label lists nearly 50 potential side effects, many of them serious, and that is just the first vaccine given to a baby on their first day of life. By the way, the safety study for that hepatitis B vaccine was only 4 days long and had no placebo comparator. That is...
Holy cow. Like I say, I mean, even the things that I've studied before and really looked into and understood were horrific for mankind, and particularly Americans, because we are the ones they're pumping these things into. Even I didn't know, I guess I hadn't heard it put that way before. You just think about that. And these doctors in their white coats, or people on social media, or these so-called experts, they will refuse to even hear that. They don't want to know. They don't even want to hear. This is another clip too on kids. A lot of people have made the vaccine autism comparison. Well, there may be some confounding factors along with that. And I thought this was kind of an interesting one, too. A new study has come out that was talked about on Joe Rogan recently.
something shocking about one out of three women who drank Diet Coke during pregnancy had an autistic kid.
Oh my God.
And they're now like putting this connection to Diet Coke and diet sugar.
Is that real?
Look aspartame? At it. It just came up. Yeah, it was.
When was this?
This was like 2 weeks ago I read
this. Oh my.
That's scary because there is a lot more, I think, more autistic people or people in the spectrum than there used to be. Like, it seems like
study finds link between drinking some diet soda during pregnancy and autism in boys. Oh boy. They've observed a link between autism diagnosis in boys and their mothers drinking at least one diet soda daily or consuming the equivalent amount of the sweetener aspartame during pregnancy or while breastfeeding, according to new study.
Something.
Well, I spent 6 years on here warning people about artificial sweeteners, aspartame in particular. Should I tell the story of how aspartame got approved? The FDA actually rejected aspartame several times in the 1970s. When Ronald Reagan was elected, Donald Rumsfeld had been the CEO or chief counsel or something like that for the company G.D. Searle that manufactured aspartame, and it had been rebuffed by the FDA several times. So when Reagan was elected, and Donald Rumsfeld was, I believe, his chief of staff when he was first elected, Donald Rumsfeld made a phone call, and the story goes, as I recall it, something like at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like the first day he was in office, he called and fired, I think, the head of the FDA and put in one of his lackeys, one of the revolving door guys. That's how you got aspartame. That's how you got these artificial sweeteners, and they're in everything you're eating. So ladies, if you're pregnant, if you're thinking about becoming pregnant, as they say, or if you've got a granddaughter or a child who's going to be pregnant, understand this aspartame is also in everything else, too. Just take a look at stuff. Chewing gum. It's on almost every single chewing gum you can find. Anything that you see that's sugar-free, you're generally going to find, unless it's sweetened with stevia or monk fruit or something like that. But most of them, if they're in a regular grocery store, are going to be sucralose or aspartame. That's how they make these things sweet. So people are getting a healthy dose of that. And how's that working out for our kids post-pregnancy? I ran across this story. I am rehashing some of the old stuff, but I haven't talked about it in a while, and these headlines just keep on coming. So this was a couple of weeks ago. Quote, a horrible perfect storm, unquote. Frustrations rise as shortage of Adderall, other ADHD medication continues. I'm going to tell you, read a little bit of this story. It's really, it's just tragic to me. All Jennifer Howell wanted was to find medication for her son. Instead, she was caught in a maze of desperate phone calls to pharmacies and physicians. Her son, Linus, had been diagnosed with ADHD in 2021 during the grips of the COVID-19 pandemic. Gee golly gee willikers. I wonder what could have caused him problems with focus or anything else when our country stripped these kids of their lives and freaked them out about a virus that was of no risk to children whatsoever. Isn't that strange? Suddenly he started exhibiting some odd behavior, or maybe he wasn't the same kid he was. I mean, the layers of abuse on this child and this mother are multiple. The story goes on. Many of his behavioral traits, restlessness, impulsivity, and difficulty focusing, suddenly made sense. When he was first prescribed medication, its effects were instantaneous. And then this is the really sad part. Quote, it was something that changed him within 24 hours, said Howell, a Lincoln Square resident. It was enough for us to cry, saying, oh God, I wish we had known. Now she's not talking about, I wish we had known never to put our child on these drugs. She's saying, I wish I had known there was a shortage so I could have stocked up on my baby's meds. Howell recalled how Linus, now 10 years old, described how he felt, quote, when my neurons are working, I'm basically a genius. So they've taken this poor kid, they've given him one of these ADHD, he was an 8-year-old child. This was, he was diagnosed in 2021, he is now 10 years old. An 8-year-old child that was restless, had trouble focusing, was a little impulsive. That used to be called childhood. Now it's called a disease, and they medicate your children. And parents are now crying and screaming to God for help, not for the safety of their children, but so that God will provide some more Ritalin or Adderall for their children. Man, I tell you what, this kind of show is just as frustrating to me as politics is. How have we fallen so far astray? I keep wanting to say this over and over again. If you or anybody you know or love is thinking about putting your child on an ADHD medication because they're a natural child, and maybe they're a little rambunctious, for the love of God, stop that too. This whole show is just a plea to parents. I'll be right back. Woke up in my closet and this morning. All right, final segment for today. So this poor 8-year-old child is taken in by his parents. Now remember, this is during COVID. This is when your county, city, state, and federal authorities stripped children of everything that makes childhood fantastic, right? They took away their friends. They took away their ability to congregate. They took away their schools. They took away their sports. They took away everything for a disease that was no risk to children whatsoever. What do you think that 8-year-old did when he was just sitting at home all day, couldn't be around his friends, couldn't be around anybody else for fear that Nana might die if they picked up a bug? This was the real fear-mongering we did to our children during COVID. What do you think he probably did with his time? Anyone? Anyone? Well, did you imagine there might be a screen involved in it? Video games? Social media, whatever? He was only 8. I would say video games probably... one of the big ones are a lot of YouTube videos of jump cut videos from child influencers. God only knows. Well, check this out. And then remember, they took everything away from him. Well, I would imagine, I think I'm pretty safe to say, this was probably the same for a lot of children. And believe me, if I had had kids at home, 8-year-old kids, I had twins. If I'd had 2 8-year-olds home from school for 6 months, I would imagine I would have gotten to a point where I put them in front of some screens too. And I was not a big screen parent. I was a get out of this house, go find something to do parent. But anyway, so this kid is stripped of his life, put in front of a screen. Check out this story. Billy was a bright 10-year-old boy with 2 Ivy League educated parents. He was book smart, got straight A's in school, but lacked street smarts. He was also a poor sport. Billy would frequently lie and cheat when playing board games or participating in team activities and have full-blown meltdowns when he lost. His friends, who had been with him since kindergarten, began losing patience. His parents recognized that something had to be done. So Billy's parents brought him to Dr. Victoria Dunkley, a pediatric psychiatrist specializing in screen use. After a 4-week, quote, screen fast, unquote, prescribed by Dr. Dunkley, which eliminated all TVs, phones, and video games, Billy's problems miraculously cleared up. His parents were so pleased that they decided to maintain the fast. 6 months passed, and Billy's friends were no longer avoiding him, and his sportsmanship had improved markedly. Billy decided to run for class president and delivered a speech, something that would have previously terrified him. Billy is one of Dr. Dunkley's many patients whose mental and behavioral problems disappeared once they eliminated or significantly reduced screen time. Well, we got to give it credit to it. You know, the Ivy Leagues, we're all kind of questioning Ivy League schools these days with as insane as they have gotten. But a couple of Ivy League parents took this child to somebody to see if maybe there was something they could do before they put him on a drug. So this child, all of his behavioral problems that I would imagine, had they just gone to a doc in the box or just to a regular MD, they would have gone, oh, we got a pill for that, and would have stuck this kid on ADHD medications for the rest of his life. It turns out that the kid's brain was being rewired by all this screen time, and it only took 1 month. 1 month of getting away from that, and suddenly this kid is blossoming and becoming the child that he should be. And so this is another thing to keep your eye on. Nutrition is obviously very important for kids as they develop, but this idea of screen time. So I just juxtapose these two stories because I can only imagine that that 8-year-old kid who went to the doc in the white lab coat, who just gave him some pills, probably never ask a thing about his screen time. Have you seen any changes? How's he reacting to school being closed and all of us grown-ups in the medical establishment losing our ever-loving minds over this ridiculous virus? He didn't do that. He just goes, oh, yeah, I got a pill for that. And so this child is saddled with this addiction now. And when the Adderall and those things run short, he's basically like a junkie. His parents are out trying to score for him. That's what has happened. Not judging the parents. People have got to stop believing that everything that comes out of the mouth above a white lab coat is gospel. I've got one last story here, but I don't have time to get into it. I'm running up against the break, but it's about shared by a father. It was a social media post shared by a father in honor of the passing of his child. And he goes through, it's a long story. I'll probably save it and do it at another show, because another one thing for you parents to watch out for, the HPV vaccine. On June 29th, 2018, Christopher Bunch received the Gardasil vaccine at a routine doctor visit. Within 2.5 weeks, he started complaining of a sore throat, and by July 31st, he was complaining about terrible sore throat and headache. And then he just goes downhill from there. Christopher Bunch is no longer with us. There's a picture of him. He is a young, vibrant teenager, big smile in the picture, and for some reason, his doctor, during a routine visit, decided it was time for him to get the HPV vaccine, which is one of the most notorious for its side effects, before the COVID shot blew all records out of the water. And this child is no longer with us. If you or somebody you love is considering the HPV vaccine, I encourage you to do a lot of research, a whole lot of research. I'll help you with it. You can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll send you what I can find. I do this for people all the time. Do not jump in there with this HPV vaccine. It is one of these disasters. So we've got Adderall. We got HPV vaccines. We got Ozempic. That's about all the time I got to get to today. But there's more of them out there. It's a landmine. Dealing with the medical establishment, as I said many times during my health show, escape the medical system. That's all the time I got today. Have a great one. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Me and my crew, we stay true.